Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "but God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed thick leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust for all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, to dust you are, and to dust you will return."
Thanks heaps, Bronwyn, for reading God's word for us. My name is Stu. If I've not met you before, I'm one of the pastors from Southern Cross. Happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there. We're so pleased that you can join us for our Sunday's gathering today. Please do keep your Bibles open to a tricky, challenging part of God's word, to Genesis 3. But we should pray and ask for God's help, so let's pray. Father, this morning, please help us to be open to your word, the Bible, by the power of your Spirit. As the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 12 reminds us, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. Amen. Well, happy birthday, happy Mother's Day. I get a little bit confused at this time of year because my mum actually has a birthday in the week leading into Mother's Day. So shout out to my mum. Happy birthday and happy Mother's Day. So I hope you all get an opportunity to call mum today if your mum is still with us. Whether that might be over Zoom or Skype or FaceTime. But as you stare at that face on that screen, how do you look like your mum? You might be like, well, that kind of question is a little bit scary to ask because, to be honest, it seems terrible. I mean, who hands up if you're not loving looking at your own face on screen when you see it kind of back in this sort of mode? Yes, not great fun. But back to the original question, what is it like, what sort of likeness is there between you and your mum? When I'm not just talking sort of physical likeness, but what sort of social or emotional likeness there? Is your mum a bit of a talker? Or is she more quiet, more reserved? Are you a bit like your mum like that? Do you know your mum's love language? There's five of them. There's words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, I don't know if you know them, quality time. And the final one, you've really got a feel for those whose love language is this one, the fifth one, physical touch. How tragic if your mum is that kind of mum during COVID-19. Is your love language like your mum's? If you don't know her love language, I suggest you work that out before the end of today. But how are you like your mum? What sort of family resemblance is there? It might be hard for you to know. I mean, maybe you need to speak to a sibling or a cousin or a family friend. They might be able to tell you how you are, a bit like your mum. You know, sometimes we need someone outside of ourselves to help us to know what we're really like. That's what we're going to do in our time together today. We're going to go to the Bible and allow it to ask the question, how do we know what we're really like? Even, what is the family resemblance like? So to do this, we're going to do an investigation into the family likeness, have a look at some DNA. We're going to head back to the first family. The world's first family is recorded in Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And we're going to see what sort of resemblance is there between that family and me and you. Well, in Genesis chapter 3, we meet the first mum. Her name was Eve. And we met the first dad. His name was Adam. However, I admit, it's not really good news that it reveals to us. But this morning, I guess I'm encouraging us to allow the Bible to assess you. Now, you might have that same experience that I have when I'm on Zoom and I'm a little bit concerned about myself and what I look like. What is it that stares you back in your face? Is it a little bit scary? Well, can I encourage you today, please don't look away. I can promise you, if you stick with it and honestly look into what the Bible says, it has the power to change your life, to transform your life, to bring good. And actually, this will be the entry point into living the good life. Well, in Genesis chapter 3, hopefully you've got it open in front of you, whether that's with a physical Bible or on some sort of device. We meet the first family. But sadly, it doesn't take too long before we see a family feud. To quickly bring you up to date with the story so far, if it's new for you, in Genesis is the first book of the Bible. In chapter 1 and 2, the Bible actually records the birth of the world and of the first humans, Adam and Eve. They're born into a beautiful place. They enjoy the good life. There's relational connectedness. There's ample food, and they have a really grand purpose. The Bible describes this world in Genesis chapter 1 as good. And when humans are introduced into the world as the pinnacle of creation, contrary to some current postmodern thought that would say that humanity is actually a blight on our world, the Bible records the birth of humanity in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, as very good. But maybe if you're listening and if the Bible is new to you, when you hear about this very good world, it's at that point you might be tempted to stop reading because it just seems rather fanciful, a bit like a fairy tale, if this world is very good. And it might confirm your suspicion that the Bible is fictional, that it's untrue. But I'd like us to encourage you all today to see that as scary as Genesis chapter 3 is, part of its wonder and believability is its picture of humanity and our flaws and the way in which it reveals it to be painfully true. And it makes God's word extraordinarily perceptive. So let's move into this part of God's word and unpack its scary but stunningly clear truth. Well, from our reading that Bronwyn read to us from Genesis 3, we hear this. Theologians are people who think things about God, and they call this incident the fall of humanity. You see, how did this very good world that is described in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 descend into this tragic fall? Well, we see it in Genesis 3, verse 3. But God did say, we must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you'll die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, did you notice what happened? I mean, you may have read this section before. You might have some suspicion about what this all means. I mean, some of you may have heard this part of God's word hundreds of times. Maybe you might have a reaction like a seven-year-old when I read this aloud recently and they said, I've heard it all before. So can I motivate you not to switch off, but to think and to pray, to be prayerful about this? For what we see in Genesis chapter 3 is horrible mistrust. Because the Bible records that the sun and the stars and the sky and the sea and the birds and the fish and the animals and the insects, the land, the rocks, the jewels, the trees, the vegetables, the flowers, you and me were made by the word of God. What does that mean? Well, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3 says this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. By an astonishingly powerful act, the God of the galaxy spoke a word, and the world leaped into being. Did you hear that? God spoke. God whispered. God communicated. God talked. God conversed. God dialogued. God chatted. God said. God used words to create the world. There was no builder. There was no timber, no nails, no glue, no drill, no saw, no hammer. No, the Bible is very clear. God built our world out of words. God used words to fashion the world. And how did that first family respond to this inconceivably potent and dynamic word? Well, we see it in chapter 3. Have a look at verse 6. Well, they doubted it. What a tragedy. What a disaster. How heartbreaking for God. If some of the youth are tuned in, they might remember from Safari. It's our annual youth camp that happens each year. A couple of years ago, I spoke about when I was on the cusp of year 12 and I had my heart broken. Yes, it was a tragedy. Yes, it was a disaster. And yes, it occurred at Dreamworld. The girl I'd fallen for said those words, no. We can't go out anymore. But that broken heart doesn't compare to the words that we directed to God. There are good reasons why people call this the fall. Because remember, the Bible called humans very good. Humans were the apex of a word-built world. These very good creatures created by God's stunningly strong word turned on that said word in a shocking scene that would break the heart of any mother. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, only a mum could understand the heartbreak of one of her own children that turns from her in a mistrust of her motherly word. A mother that in great pain brought this child into the world. A mother who nursed that child. A mother who made sacrifices for that child. A mother that comforted this child when they were afraid or when they were hurt. A mother that clothed this child. A mother that fed this child. Mum, what are we having for breakfast? Mum, what are we having? Mum, what are we having for dinner? Mum, I'm still hungry. so much that a mum has done, only for this same child to mistrust your word as a mother, to turn from it, even to ignore your word, even to disregard you. Could a mother ever experience something so heartbreaking? And yet, since that day in paradise in Genesis chapter 3, God has experienced that nightmare every single day. As men and women and children, they turn from God's life-giving word and instead they back themselves and their own word to guide them in what is God's world. So we must consider this morning how the nightmare of God's broken heart wreaked havoc in our world by turning to the next few verses of Genesis 3. Well, as the word of God that made and sustains this world was cast aside, the ripples of that act were devastating. And the first fracture begins in the centre of this family. And we see it from Genesis 3, verse 9. Have a look at it with me. But the Lord God called to the men, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." He said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Now, unfortunately, Adam didn't want to admit. He didn't want to admit that he had stood there silently through this whole episode between his wife Eve and the serpent. He didn't speak up. He didn't say anything. He didn't speak to reaffirm God's word. Instead, Adam created the first and the world's first experience of the blame game. He, rather than stepping forward with his shoulders strapped back, or what we might say manning up, and stepping in front of his wife, between her, he should have received the verdict that was rightly directed his way, but he cowers and he points the finger at his wife, who follows her husband in his shameful lead and points the finger to the animal, hoping that guilt would somehow pass along this chain of relationships and then somehow vindicate them. But the cracks are too big. The decision of humanity rocked the world to its core. It was like an earthquake so strong that it quaked and it reached every part of our globe. A quake so strong no human Richter scale could read it, because the tremors, we still feel it today during the midst of COVID-19. How did coronavirus get into our island nation? Was it the Ruby Princess's fault? Was it the ship's manager? Was it border control? Was it the New South Wales Premier? Was it New South Wales Health? Who was to blame? Whose fault was it that the ship was docked at Circular Quay? From one finger pointed to another, and to another, and to another, like a horrible merry-go-round, seemingly with no way to get off until the blame lands on someone's lap. Did the blame land somewhere? Well, yes, more than likely at the hands of many, which shouldn't actually surprise us because we are creatures. And yet the blame gets passed from one to another, to another, to another. But maybe the cruelest thing of all is we stand back and we shake our heads at this and we think, how could they? Not realising that we would do exactly the same thing. We need to be willing to see the Bible records here our broken world, and that it aligns with our experience of the brokenness too. Again, this pandemic has raised issues to the surface. During the week, I read an article from ABC News that interviewed a removalist as they described how business for them had increased by 60% during COVID-19 as they assisted women who were escaping domestic violence situations. It's an awful statistic. Every part of it wishes you think this is unbelievable. And yet, you might have personally experienced unbelievable kindness directed to you or to a member of your family during this crisis. So the question is, well, how does Acts 3 respond to those acts of kindness? Pushes us to think that maybe there is hope for our world yet. Again, our theologian friends, they describe this tension that we experience as like a broken down castle. From a distance, you can see the scale of things, of what would have been ornate and beautiful. That was Susan and my experience as we travelled through Scotland years ago, and we saw ruins of castles. From the road, you could imagine the majesty, and yet, as you hopped out the car and walked toward it, you could see the missing windows and the missing stones. And here in Genesis chapter 1 to 3, it provides that photo too. Such a majestic picture of this very good creature, and yet now broken, quite fragile. And that is where Genesis 3 ends, verses 14 to 18, reveals the fragility of life in our world. And then in verse 19, it reveals the painful heartache as this once glorious castle, these glorious humans become rubble and return to the dust as death comes to our world. During the week, it was my mum's birthday. It was the first one since my dad died late last year, and my wife Susan was reflecting on how hard it would be for her this year to have her birthday. My dad's passing, I had family close by, a brother who moved from her town at the start of this year, and so it made for a sad and lonely day for my mum. With all that was happening in COVID-19, there just didn't seem much we could do, but my siblings and I stretched out across three different states of Australia. We got together to do some scheming, and we passed on an unexpected birthday surprise to my mum. She got quite a shock, and she said, "Where do we get all this, if I can do an impersonation of my mum, all this craziness and, you know, this creativity, where do you get that from?" And I laughed and I said, "Mum, we're like you. You see, how are you like your mum? What is your mum's love language? If your mother has since passed away, do you remember something that she loved about Mother's Day? If your mum is still with us, have you called mum yet?" There's certainly a lot to like about mums. And yet even the most caring mums still have hard days. And days when they get things wrong, days that remind us this world is broken. And for other mothers, this Mother's Day may be the hardest one they've ever experienced. If during this lockdown they may have had to flee their homes for their own safety, to free them from the abuse that had engulfed them in recent months. Genesis 1 to 3 reminds us we were once like beautiful castles, very good creations, the jewel of God's creative word. And then the earthquake of sin rocked our world, and those once beautiful castles now broken down and decaying and slowly disappearing back to the dust. Genesis 3 records the life and the death of humanity. Now our fragile bodies decay and die, and the effects of sin destroy us and lead us to the dust. The Bible's assessment of us records that humanity is dead to sin, and it needs divine resuscitation or resurrection or assistance so that we might be reborn. This idea was captured beautifully on Thursday morning this week as our family was in our Good Life gym. We were reading from a Bible family devotional, and here's what it said. I've taken a photo of the picture because it's quite fun, so I'll see if I can just put that in front of my camera for you all. So it's a picture of the Queen. And yes, she's eating ice cream. And yes, she has slippers on. Why is the Queen eating slippers and ice cream? Let me read you. This is what the devotional said. The Queen of England has two birthdays. On her official birthday, she does queen things. But on her actual birthday, she gets to do whatever she likes, like eat ice cream in her slippers all day if she wants to. "Wouldn't you like two birthdays?" it went on to say. "Actually, when you belong to Jesus," it said, "you have three birthdays. One, when you were born into the world as a baby. And then two, there's your birthday. When you say yes to Jesus, you were born into God's whole new life. And then there's the birthday after you die, when Jesus takes you by the hand and leads you through death, and you wake up with him into perfect life that will never end." So to all the mums out there, let's pretend like it's your birthday today. So can I encourage you to put your slippers on and eat a bowl of ice cream? And then, as we've seen in Genesis 3 today, because of sin and its effect, you need to be reborn again. Second birthday. So go and have another bowl of ice cream. And then, even when the effects of sin cause you death in this life, if you trust in Jesus, he will rise you up on that day and give life to you that will never end. So, mums, yeah, you can have a third bowl of ice cream. Well, let's pray. Let's talk to God. Our Father, we do want to thank you for the strength of your word, that by it you made our word, and through your word our world was made. And majestic things like mums. We're sorry that just like our family before us, we doubted your word, ignoring it, preferring to rule life our own way and blaming others for the mistakes we make. Father, please help us to be honest, to know your assessment of our life, that without you we are broken, that we're headed for death. Please help us to reach out to Christ to save our lives and to restore us, that we might experience this transformed life both in this life and in the life to come. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.